Man, that's a love for horse racing, and I could have used it just for betting. And I'm like, no, I want to change the game. I want to win an Eclipse Award. I want to change. Now, it's only one part of what needs to change in the game for sure, right? Owners need to be taken care of. But bettors are the backbone of this industry.
100%.
And you have to take care of them. And we need people to come together. Unfortunately, you've got different owners of different tracks and different circuits and all that, and that's another topic. But that being said, I would just tell you this, you're not going to beat an algorithm. It's not going to happen. When you have a man-made number, I've heard good things about Thorograph, and I used the sheets years ago, but you're not going to beat a computer.
No, I think as far as man-made, Thorograph's the best, but I'm a computer guy myself, and like I told you, I wouldn't be in this game for the things that I look at, and I look forward to looking at your stuff.
Well, it doesn't get emotional, right? Computer doesn't get emotional.
No.
You know how we are. I'm an overthinker for sure. Yeah. Admittedly, I'm an overthinker. You're not going to beat a computer. It doesn't get emotional, and it's never cold. Our systems at any track are never cold. They're not always hot. At Saratoga, they were hot. But they're not always hot, but they're never cold. So if you just learn to perfect your betting, and that's what, you know, and this is the thing we need to bring to the game, and it's very important to me. Aftercare of horses, when they retire, is important to me. And also because early on in my career, I just was one of these people that wanted to bet every single race, and I lost a lot of money. Luckily, I was blessed with a good company, and I was okay. But that being said, a lot of young people, they need to understand, if you find the right program, you need to learn how to bet and manage your money.
Yeah, I think the number one thing, Steve, that I learned early on when I was a losing player is that I was betting every race. And if you're going to beat this game, you've got a spot bet, and your solution seems like it can help you do that. And then you've got to do what you do best, which is pick fives, pick sixes, things of that nature. But if you're going to bet horses just to win, you've got to pick your... I watched my dad go to Charlestown and sit there all day long and bet one race, win or lose, and then we'd go home. And I learned that from
him. I'll tell you a funny story on that topic. When I was living in Montreal, I'd go to the Hippodrome clubs, and there was a guy I got to know, and, you know, talking at the tables and whatnot, and I've never seen a more patient player. This is a guy that would literally wait 3 weeks to make one bet, and had to be 7-2 or over, and he might wait 3 weeks to come in, sit, wait for the race to come up, horse drops down to 3-1, get up and walk out. I mean, religious. And when he was betting these horses,
he was betting
these horses. And I've never seen anything like it. Just the patience. And that may have helped me a little bit. I think it was, and you know, years ago on the show, I had Steve Davidowitz regularly, who was always fun and absolutely certifiably insane. But
aren't we all of us horse players?
Not like Davidowitz.
Okay.
Davidowitz was, you know, from another galaxy of insanity. His original betting thoroughbreds, which I remember having. I wish we had these tapes, because they were pretty crazy and amazing. I think I said to him, when you wrote it, did you feel like it was a stream of consciousness? Because it reads like a stream of consciousness. And he said yes, which means he was doing God knows how many drugs, but it was I can remember, I'm sure when I read it, I was high, which is how I identified, which is exactly how I knew how he wrote it. So everything he was saying made perfect sense. And this is 100% true. But one of the things that I picked up from it was prime bets and action bets. And something like what you've got is probably very helpful for that, because you can take your own opinion, get reinforcement from your product, but then when you want action and you're just sitting there and you're not as committed and involved and you didn't have a chance to handicap yourself, and you know, here you've got some information that you can, it's an action bet to keep you entertained.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. It's for all players, really. You know who else it's for? You would not believe, if you watch my show, some of the best handicappers using Equine Edge are women. They're crushing. they are doing so well, and they're loving the game because they're busy. They're raising kids, but they want to enjoy the game. And so they're, instead of going with their husbands, and their husbands are playing, and they're just kind of tagging along, they're actually playing, and they're winning, and they're doing a great job. And so a lot of women are really enjoying Equinedge right now, and I'm proud of that, too, to see these people, and also proud to, like, attract some of these new players as well, some of these poker players and some of these sports bettors, because, you know, they're looking at this game going, man, how do I play this game? I don't have this kind of time. So I think we're attracting new people.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, talk about the Twitch show. And you and I discussed this. Yeah. And in fact, I think in very close proximity to our conversation, if I'm not mistaken, Dave Hill wrote that piece about, right?
Yes, he did.
Weeks later or a month later. And Dave Hill is Dave Hill is a treasure.
He is to
the game.
Amazing writer.
No, he's and a character.
Yeah, amazing character. Yes,
he's Runyon-esque. Talk about the Twitch, and it's been. It obviously has got a whole different demographic potential, and I mean, I personally have not. I mean, I've watched a couple. You know, we're doing stuff with Form to Win, another algorithmic. It's a speed product, very simple.
Right.
But Papo Morales has been doing from Amwager. Papo's been doing the same kind of presentations, and you're doing a full production. I mean, ostensibly it's a studio, and you've got bells and whistles, and I mean, obviously, Scotty, a lot of thought has gone into this, and a multi-tiered execution.
Yeah.
But talk about the Twitch situation, and here again is another industry roadblock where being able to talk live about races and utilizing video is yet another obstacle to efficiencies.
So Twitch, really, it started with these gamers, right? So you get these gamers that go there, and people want to learn how to play these games, right? I kind of attribute it similar to poker. Think about when poker took off, right? They started showing what people, the players had, in what their hands were. So what happened was, is all of a sudden you became a fan of, like, Daniel Negreanu, right? You start becoming a fan of these people. But most importantly is you were watching them, and you learned how to play yourself, and you thought you could do that exact same thing. That's what I'm doing on my shows. People are on Twitch, they're on YouTube, they're on Twitter, and they're watching me handicap with the Equinedge platform, and they're going, oh, so that's how he uses it, because I'm talking them through it.
Right.
And that's why it's so important. So we're building this community, and then people are chatting. So one, the difference is, though, is they're betting with me. They're betting with me. That's an advantage.
Sure.
So people are betting with me. They're learning how to handicap. A new way, by the way, a new generation of people are learning how to handicap with Equinedge. And they're going, this is pretty cool. I feel like I can do it. This is not unrealistic. And that's what's happening right now. And Twitch was kind of the beginning of this, because these gamers learned, I want to watch the best gamers in the world, and I want to see how they do it. And the gamers are talking to them, and some of them have wonderful personalities and some don't, whatever. But the thing is that with me, I'm using Equinedge, and I'm handicapping, and they're seeing me use Equinedge, and then they're going, oh, okay, I can do that. And they're learning. Because the problem is if you want to learn how to do it the traditional way, the old-fashioned way, where you learn how to read past performances, they've got these, what are they called, betting buddies or something like that, right? And so you go to the track, and you're trying to learn how to read Chinese in a day. It's never going to attract new people to the game. But the way we're doing it, through a community of people that are sharing with each other and helping each other and encouraging each other and learning how to use Equinedge, we're building new. My shows are getting anywhere from 400 to 500 concurrent people in a show. And so it's people are chatting with each other, and I'm chatting back with them. The chatting back with them is equally as important as me handicapping for them.
So you talk about your show a lot. Can you tell the listeners out there where they can listen to the show, what days a week, or is it just a YouTube video? Because I'm interested myself, so that's why I'm asking.
So you just go to Equinedge Live,
yep.
And you go on YouTube, and you can subscribe to that channel, or you can get a free month at Equinedge and just go to equinedge.com, and there's a lot of different promo codes out there you can find. I don't know what they're called, but you can go there and you can subscribe to Equinedge, and you'll either get an email, but if you subscribe to YouTube, then you'll just get a notification if you click on the bell, and you'll get a notification of when I'm doing my shows. But my next show is Thursday, so I do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, because we've partnered with Dell. Palomar.
Okay.
And I do, not only do I do my own show at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, but I also am doing the simulcast with John Lees. And that's been a hoot. I've just had the best time with John, and we're having a great time doing the simulcast. And essentially 1 hour to just under an hour, we go over all the races of the day at Del Mar. And so these shows that I'm doing right now are all about Del Mar. But the other thing we've been doing is we've been doing like Golden Hour series for the Stronach Group, where we cover Golden Gate Fields, and we cover Santa Anita, of course, right? We did Sam Houston. A lot of people, we drew a lot of people to Sam Houston that said I never would have played Sam Houston before, but now I'm playing Sam Houston, and you watch these people. Here's our big thing. When people start winning, when I go, okay, I would play this, and they go, well, Scotty, I like this. So one person says to me, we're covering Sam Houston. He says, Scotty, you're not using the top GSR. It's 10 points higher than the next closest. This was on the chat. I'm like, you're absolutely right. The entire room bet that top GSR horse, probably won $100,000 or $200,000 in that one very race, all because somebody in the chat room reminded and said, hey, Scotty, you missed that horse.
Wow. It's pretty funny. Well, how quickly, talk about aptitudes and how quickly people will be able to understand and pick up on it and the interface.
So what we've seen, Steve, is that, you know, you got a lot of the old school people that are so, you know, they're set in their ways. No doubt about it. I get it. I'm 56 years old. I'm set in my ways a bit. And so they don't want to learn anything new. But what we have seen, and this is why we're giving away the free promotion for a month, is that when people sit down and actually take the time to go, I'm going to just check this out, and they do, very few leave.
It's amazing. So what is the price structure? You know, can you get it per month, or is it then a six-month deal and you get a discount, or a year, or what? I just know that the solution I currently use did offer that. If you do it for a year, they give you a break. So if you just break that down, I'm sure people are interested in that.
So we have a daily for $5.95 for one track, $9.95 for all tracks, and you get everything. And then we have a monthly at $80 a month.
Yep.
For those people that just want to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have a week, what we call a weekend warrior. And then we have a yearly that comes out to $60 a month if you just want to pay for the year. And we've got so many people that are doing that. We're building like 25, 30 people per day right now, new subscribers, which is unheard of in horse racing.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
And we're keeping 90% of these people.
Right. Yeah, I know the Weekend Warrior would be right up my alley because I like to play the high-stakes tournaments, the BCBCs, the NHC, the high-stakes games. So that would hit me square between the eyes. And it's awesome that you're able to offer those different packages for different wants, needs, etc.
Yeah, and what we are seeing too is, you know, people, there are a lot of people that are, you know, don't bet a lot of money, right? So we're trying to figure out ways where we can reach them. We're really trying, but we have costs associated with building these tools, and it makes it very, very difficult to reach some of these people. But I will say this, you know, the one thing I've seen, which is a little disappointing, and people need to open their minds to this, is they'll sit there and they'll bet $200 or $300 or $400 a day, but they don't want to spend $9.95 in a day, which
makes
is mind-boggling.
Sense.
I don't get it.
It's true.
I really don't understand it. I really don't, and they're doing themselves a disservice by being that way.
100%. If you're going to bet $350 to $500. So, gosh, I know people that even do more than that, and then they complain that they don't want to use a solution. Well, you're just giving racetrack money at this point.
Right.
You know, I'm 38 years old, and I know how the game was and what it used to be, and now what it is today. And you've got to use something such as your tool, in my opinion, to be able to beat this game and beat it at a high level. And I guarantee you, if you walked around this room, 95% of the people are using something other than just a DRF. They may have the DRF, but just like this guy, he's using something.
I've been handicapping 36 years. It's nothing against the DRF at all. It's just talking about a new generation of handicappers, young people that want information fast, and I just don't believe we're going to attract people with that. I really don't.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to happen. Learn how to bet.
Absolutely.
I would say, if you said to me, Scotty, get one piece of advice to give people, learn how to bet.
Yep. And me either, Steve. I'm not slighting the DRF either. You can use it. I just think there's other tools as well that you could use that could better your handicap.
The learning how to bet conundrum is that it's a function of personality. And so you'll have the bet a little, make a lot crowd. You'll have the, you know, favorites crowd. You're going to have so many different approaches based on individuals' makeup. And because we've got such a proliferation of wagering menu, I think one of the other challenges of bringing people into the game is helping them identify themselves and what their aptitude might be in terms of the kind of bet
I know what you mean.
That suits their makeup.
Yeah.
And that's a trial and error. I mean, there is trial and error involved here, no matter how valuable the information that is put in your hands ends up being. And that equation, I guess, probably tracks back to the community aspect and finding mentors or finding people as sounding boards. And this is one of the problems that's, again, a double-edged sword of the modern approach to the game, meaning away from the racetrack. When you're at the racetrack and you experience, you know, the visceral thrill, it is different than playing on a computer and playing remotely and invariably in isolation for the most part. Although the Twitch sessions and people together that way can offset that, but the visceral thrill, frankly, of a teller counting out $1,200 in front of you there's nothing better than that.
I see. When I lived in Virginia and was able to bet on TVG and I hit a pick four for $680, that's great. But it's just a number. You go to the racetrack and you hit for $680, still the same amount of money. Well, she's handing out those hundreds. It's a completely different feeling. And I just want to say this too, Steve, to piggyback off what you said. It's about finding your niche and what makes you click. When I would go to the racetrack initially, when I started getting into this game again, everybody around me was playing pick four, so I was like, oh, you know, I've got to play the pick four. I had no idea what I was doing. I could see every horse in the race. I could pick the winners, but I wasn't constructing the tickets right. And with your ticket creator, again, going back to that, if I could just say, hey, I have $248 or $212 or $216 I want to spend, and these are the horses that I like, help me do this the right way.
Helps the keyword. Well, helps the keyword.
Right.
It's going to generate a ticket for you, and I would say 90% of the time you should not play that ticket. You
Correct.
Should make a couple of adjustments. But the key to what you were saying, Steve, is it's really about the betting. When you have to handicap for 6 hours on a track, on one track, if you really want to do it thoroughly, then you're not giving any time for putting your tickets together.
And you're mentally exhausted already, Steve.
That's correct.
From handicapping the races, and now you've got to figure out how I make all my hard work count. And then you could be cutting edges. It's just like when you're studying for an exam and you try to cram the last day. You're not going to remember everything in that biology test.
That's right.
You need to study 1, 2, 3 days in advance.
That's right.
You get my point.
This is going to change. You watch. Mind word. I'll be long gone one day, and Equinedge and others like it are going to have changed this game. Mark my words.
No,
because
I agree with that.
It's going to be about betting, and people are going to spend more time betting. It's one of the things we're working on at Equinedge right now is management tools, money management tools. And if the first thing that has to happen is you have to trust in the tool that you're using. So once you use Equinedge long enough, you start going, I know I'm going to find the winner, either the GSR or the SOR or the Scotty top pick or the Scotty long shot or the top win percentage. I know that one of them is going to win 80% of the time, so now I just have to learn how to bet.
That's it. I know I keep repeating myself, Steve. That's what it is. It's the key.
Can we? How practical is it for you to handicap a race with us?
We can do it in minutes. You have Equinedge up?
I do not. I do not.
Somebody?
Hurdy. Come here.
Get the hurricane over here.
So John Hurd is using your stuff.
John's fantastic.
So put the headset on. He's
going
to show you
so we can,
how to handicap a race. So let's handicap race
What's
6.
What's coming up?
No, not. I want to do the handicap. I want to do the AC race.
Do this first.
All right, let's
5 minutes.
So we got Del Mar in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
race 5, right?
We got 5 minutes.
So log into the. Can you log in there? Oh, you got it up?
I got it up.
And take a screen cap, or if you can, too, and we'll put it out there for people to see what it looks like. Because, again, visceral.
Yeah. I got it. Just right here.
Here, I'll take a picture of this. This alone is worth the price.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, look at you with the logo. Ah!
Look at John. So, John, how long have you been a customer?
2 days.
So two days, John. But are you convinced yet?
On right now.
100% convinced. The product it does its own work. It just had the sixth bomb that Bobby even called on the air, and it put this guy in third place that I don't know at 318.90.
So he had the sixth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who designed the logo?
Is that amazing logo or not?
Logo. I was going to compliment that.
So listen, you want to hear the story of the logo? It's incredible.
Sure.
So we put it out there. You can actually pay these people that will, you can put it out there and go, we'll pay $200 for the best logo.
Yep.
And they came back and we had like 20 people send back. And then the person that actually makes the money is the one that you actually choose. So if you choose to buy that logo, then you pay the money. That's $1 million logo that we paid $500 for.
That's truly amazing.
And what I did was I gave it to my designer who came back and he perfected it more. But the logo is incredible. The Wi-Fi sign with the horse is insane.
So you want to do this or do you want to walk me through?
No. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can do it. Let me walk you through it.
Yeah, actually, we should videotape. John, step behind them and videotape that.
Okay, so.
You got 10 minutes because there's a weather delay.
All right, we got a weather delay, guys.
Are we doing Delmar? There's a weather delay at Delmar?
There's a weather delay at Delmar.
There's lightning in the air.
There's lightning and rain.
Are we talking about Saratoga right now? Or are we talking about
San Diego, California? You know what? Yeah, for all of Jay Pribman's shame about the weather, Tina and I were there last week. The weather was horrible.
It was terrible. Last week was terrible. And you know, the prior weeks, all the way from the
it
have been gorgeous.
Right. We went to Poseidon. I met my friend,
I love Poseidon.
Craig and Lena Scheckman from Del Mar, and we're sitting outside. I had to roll down my sleeves. I was freezing. It was ridiculous. All right, show
everybody. All right, so I've never opened this light before.
Never opened it. Okay, so you would do is upcoming races up here. You can see it's showing 2 minutes to Del Mar, right?
So we click on this.
Del Mar 5, so you just click on it. Now it pops up. Now, the first thing I do is I sort the GSR, which stands for genetic strength rating, right here.
Okay.
So you see it? Click on that arrow. Okay, so you can see this is a wide open race. Normally, you're going to see the genetics rate. Like if you go to Saratoga, it's just incredible. Now, what we'll do is, what wager do you want to make?
I want to bet a horse to win in place.
To win in place?
Yep.
Okay.
Or across the board, however you want me to work.
All right, so what I want you to do right now is I want you to sort the win percentage right here. Now, this looks like a wide open race, and I'm going to tell you why. But I want to tell you this. I think that the tool is doing its job, and I'll tell you what I mean. The win percentages say the top win percentage is only 20%, which means it has an 80% chance of losing.
Correct.
So now, to me, I'm just looking at that going, and then look at the GSRs. Now, I will say this. Sort the GSR real quickly, if you don't mind, please. It's wide open. Yeah. It's such a, so it's wide open, right? So this is instantly, this is a wide open race.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what we want to do is we're just going to run a trifecta here. So we'll click on that and just run it for, let's just say, $10. It's a 50-cent denomination. So you click on budget and click on 10 and enter. Just click on enter. Okay, so it's saying the 1 and the 3. Now, I'm just going to look at, so the Equine Edge morning line, which is a separate algorithm, is saying 2 to 1 on the 3. What's the morning line from the odds maker, John White? So if you click on this link, there you go. Okay, so it's 3 to 1.
Right.
And then the other horse is the 1. So let's go to the 1 who's got a low GSR.
So 8 to 1.
8 to 1 in the morning line. What's our morning line
right now?
What's our morning line? Click on this where it says ML.
Which is an amazing feature.
Now go down. It's an amazing feature. Now we have the one horse at 5 to 1.
And he's 16 to 1 on the board.
And he's 16 to 1 on the board. Now, so one of those horses, well, first of all, the one horse is a play. Whether it wins or not, because the other metrics aren't really lining up, the one is a play all day long. 16 to 1, 5 to 1 in the Equine Edge morning line. It's incredible. Now, I wished one other metric would line up.
Okay. And what's
and
that?
And it does. Any metric. It wouldn't even matter.
What you're looking for is
there's 26 algorithms on our site.
Okay.
If any besides just one matchup, that's where it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So this race is just just wide open. You can see that. So I wouldn't even really, we can look at the past performance, but we won't do that. But what I do want you to do is go to Saratoga real quickly. I just want to show you the entire card of Saratoga and how sick it is. So you can go down to Saratoga. Those flames, by the way, when you see all those flames, it means in the last 16 races, that track has hit at 37% or higher.
That's ridiculous.
Can you hit a 37% on a win?
No.
Me either.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to go from race one on. Race one at Saratoga. Who won?
The one.
One horse. Top win percentage with the two. It wins the race. Sort the GSR real quick, and we'll just see if any of the other metrics.
Right there.
That arrow right there. Yep. Click on the arrow. Top GSR as well.
Correct.
Okay. Now we're going to go to race two. Okay. The three horse won Ring of Fire. And Ring of Fire had the top win percentage. Sort the GSR. Okay,
GSR's
we did.
Been sorted.
Okay, so it had the top win percentage. The EE Morning Line's 8-1. The horse went off at what?
What was it?
8-1.
Eight to one.
That was my pick. Yep.
Okay, let's go to race number three. Two horse wins the race. Scotty's second pick, 17%. EE Morning Line 5-2. But who's the top GSR?
That's it.
Okay, race number four. I can't make that. I'm not making this stuff
up.
You see this, right? You're looking at this. Who won the race?
The two.
And the Scotty Long Shot is who?
I don't see.
The one horse Bourbon Bay got third place, right?
Yep.
So, okay, so the two horse ended up winning the race.
Which was Scotty's first pick.
Which is Scotty's top pick, right? And also,
where's this at?
So Scotty's top pick is right there.
Okay.
Okay, and then the top win percentage was who?
The four.
Nope.
The two.
The two, right? Okay, so let's go to race number five. And by the way, the one horse coming, the reason I brought that up, Bourbon Bay, the reason I brought that up is if you play tournaments like I do, the cash tournaments,
right?
That one coming in at 13 or 14 to 1 coming in third is massive.
Massive. Yeah.
Okay, so next race, the three horse, Gary, but here's the thing. Look at this. Horse went off at 10 to 1. What was the morning line on the horse? Click on the morning line. What was the morning line? Oddsmakers morning line.
10 to 1.
What was our morning line?
9 to 2.
What's the top GSR?
The three.
Thank you very much. Okay, how about race number six? Okay. Top GSR is what?
The seven.
But what does he have?
75.
What's the eight have?
74.
74. Who's the Scotty Long Shot?
The eight.
Who won the race?
The eight.
Thank you very much.
By the way, listeners, pay $43.60.
Yes. What about race number seven?
Oh, yeah, I've been watching it 2 days.
Who won the race?
Montauk Daddy, the five.
Was that the top Scotty pick?
That was top.
Who was the Scotty Long Shot?
Determined Fury, the seven, who ran second.
Thank you very much. Okay, how about race number eight? Who won the race?
The Liam.
Yeah. What was his top win percentage?
Wow, it was 3-5.
I know, but still, but what was his win percentage? 45%. What was his EE morning line?
4-5.
And what was his top? What was the GSR? Not a bad GSR at 66, right?
Right.
Okay, not bad because the top was only 70.
Okay.
Okay, how about race number nine?
It was the stake.
Yeah, this is the Chad Brown horse.
Okay, what's his win percentage?
22%.
Is that the top win percentage?
Tied for 22%.
Okay, but I want you to sort the GSR and tell me who's the top GSR by how many points?
The 8 by 10 points.
And what do you go off at?
8-1.
And what's his EE morning line?
5-1.
Thank you very much. How about race number 10?
And this is the one where you got to be kicking yourself.
This is the one where I want to kill myself right now.
Money bag,
price play. So that's one algorithm. Yeah. And who's the Scotty Long Shot?
The six.
Thank you very much. Okay, anything else?
No.
What else do you want from me?
Drop the mic.
It's just a mic drop, right?
What do you want to say?
Okay.
The proof is in the pudding. Sir.
Thank you very much. By the way, how much handicapping did I do? None.
No.
I did none. How many people be handicapping a week ahead of time?
Right.
Thank you.
Yep.
And could you have done that good?
No, of course not.
Okay. So what do you have to do? So here's the point. What do you have to do? Bet. Learn how to place a ticket.
Yep.
Put your tickets together properly. Because it's like this all the time. I'm not gonna say it's that hot all the time, but it's very hot. It's very consistent. It's never cold. Not that hot all the time, but it's never cold.
And like I said, for those that are just tuning in, this guy showed up at Gulfstream, played in the Pegasus, didn't handicap a race, and won it using this system. Again, he showed up, did not handicap, and won the Pegasus tournament. That's truly incredible.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Scotty pick six.
Thank you. Yeah, I wish they'd bring the $2 pick six back, and you'd hear more about me.
Yeah, well, they should bring the $2 pick six back.
But, I mean, they need to bring that back.
For a different day,
I can't play these rainbows. I'm sorry.
No,
I can't do it.
It's embarrassing. It's bad.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing. For whoever's listening, if they had the $2 pick six, when I would handicap the pick six, Okay, and I've won over 300 pick sixes in my life, and I've hit over $6 million in pick sixes. The minute they took that away, I stopped playing all those races. Those six races that I would handicap for the pick six, I'd bet all those as well. So for those people that are making these decisions to play a rainbow pick six, that, by the way, I only play on mandatory payouts, and I don't even play that much. Yeah, see how it's working out for you, because you're losing the big player. You want to cater to these small players, and I get that. 80% of players are small, but those 20% of bigger players make up more than those 80%.
Make your game. I'm with you. I support the $2. But anyway, I don't want to hijack this, but yeah. I'm with you, okay? No, we can DM each other about that.
The pendulum has swung back.
It is a little bit. I see that, Steve, yeah.
It is no doubt. Yeah. It is no doubt. Naira abandoning it. And
so Delmar's about to go off, right?
We are.
So go back to Delmar real quickly.
1-3 with?
It's very. It had the 1-3. The one horse is interesting.
What race we have?
Because it's 5-1.
Fifth.
But the top win percentage is only, what, 20% or something like that? Like 20% on the 8. It's very low.
Yep, 20% on the 8. And then you want to do GSR?
And if you do GSR, it's just wide open, yep. Right? So that's not going to tell you anything, okay. Right? But many times with first-time starters and horses doing something for the first time, the GSR is tremendous.
But we did say the 1 was value, because you
have
6-1 on your solution. And he's up there at 15-1.
At 15-1 right now. And the 8 horse is lukewarm. But you can see the betting board, how wide open it is, right?
Yeah. You see something like the 8, I think.
They'd like the 8, who's Scotty's second pick out. Now, these are algorithms. These aren't my picks.
So remember, we generated the $10.
And we generated a ticket. And it had the 1-3 on top, 1-3-8.
It seems like to me, Steve, if I were using this solution and I were playing in a feeder or a tournament, I would play the one horse simply based on the fact that he's 16-1 and you guys value him at 5 or 6-1. Maybe a losing play, but that's who I would.
Correct. I mean, it's a wide open race, and Tripp is going to play a huge role in this, right? So,
in a wide open race, you're not going to play a 2-1 shot. I mean, you may want to play the 8.
Well, I was going to say this. Whoever the favorite is, right, the favorite's the 3. Is this not a bet against?
The favorite's on way on the outside, Scotty.
Yeah.
13 horse at 2-1. I'm not playing a wide trip like that.
No, exactly. What's the win percentage on the 13?
Go back up.
It's it is 16%, right? Okay, 14. And yeah. The EE morning line 6-1. So the horse is getting overbet and is on the outside.
So I would play the 1 or the 8, and I would key them in something. That's what I would do.
The 1's up to 18-1.
Yeah, I would play the. If I were in a tournament, Steve, I would play the 1.
Oh, you can key the 1 in the third spot if you wanted to, wherever, right? I'm just saying, like, in a race like this that's wide open, that all the metrics are saying is wide open, anything's going to happen here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's 4 or 5 horses at the wire. But the 3 is the top Scotty pick, right. No doubt about it. But I couldn't key a horse like this.
There's no way. Not in a race like this. If you got a race wide open, you take a shot. And that's why I would
take a shot.
I'd take a shot with the 1. I mean,
that's right.
18-1, it's a game changer in a tournament-like setting if you were able to even run second. I mean, Steve, you talked about that early with a 15-1 shot, 12-1 shot. You got 11-8.
Let me borrow that for a minute so we can listen in.
Is Fun Coupons, Mad Catter, Try to Capture going in, Cognac Cat in the blue cap, Banks Maggio going in, Diamond Ranger to the outside gate, along with Rocket Scent. Rocket Scent in, here's Diamond Ranger. Coming up, they're all in. And away they go. Fun Coupons broke very smartly. Circle Back in the green is right there. Try to Capture goes up between them. Those three very fast. Mad Catter is on the far side. There's Thanks Maggio. Diamond Ranger extreme outside. Diamond Ranger running up alongside of the lead. Then comes Flactum Legacy in the white colors. Rocket Scent behind that. They have been followed by Waterfront Fighter in the blue, a good 8 lengths off the leaders. Then Careless Kitten and Silver Kid. Into the turn they go now, and Diamond Ranger on the far far side takes the lead. Diamond Ranger kicks on for home. Try to capture, clinging to him. It's another four back to Mad Catter in the third spot. Then comes Cognac Cat, and behind that, Thanks Maggio. They're at the top of the lane. Diamond Ranger now has the advantage and kicks on for home. Diamond Ranger in front, try to capture, tries to battle back along the inside. Then back to Mad Catter. They come for home, and Diamond Ranger finds more in the lead, and Diamond Ranger is going to come home to score. Diamond Ranger wins it clear. Holding on to the second spot is Try to Capture. Fun Coupons ran on for third, and then Mad Catter.
Look at the 8. Wait.
Okay, so the 13 was a Scotty long shot?
Yes.
And it had 14% in a wide open race, and then the 8 horse got second at what price?
8-1.
8-1. That's incredible. And that was lukewarm. The win per, or GSR was good on the 8, right?
Yeah.
It was a good number. It was a wide open race.
Point, yeah.
But 13 was live, and it was the Scotty long shot. And then the 8 horse. So you could have taken the top two Scotty picks and the Scotty long shot and just boxed it.
That's true. The one seemed to.
Did the run touch. Not run? The
no,
one didn't
he,
run good?
He ended up like seventh, but sixth. He made a late run, but he lost touch.
And broke awkwardly. Yeah, it was awkward. And on the inside, the rail has not been doing well at Del Mar at all. But again, it was no matter what would have happened in there, it was a wide open race. It doesn't matter. But the system happened to have it there, which was great. You could have used the top three Scotty picks and hit that thing. And
your system used the 9 and the triple on every budget too.
Did it come in?
Yeah, it was third.
It is
the one.
Okay, so the 9 actually got third. And the system liked it. Yeah,
the GSR.
And the top GSR.
Top GSR long shot.
No. Listen though, the thing is, you do have to make the right call, but that's subjective handicapping. But at least it's giving you the metrics fast. That's the key, right?
Who is Scotty so far? Who's responded best? I mean, who has this really worked for? I mean, you must be hearing from people. What kind of player? I mean, how are they? Are they complete neophytes? Are they people that have been sort of frustrated, not been able to really figure the game out? Maybe it's anecdotal, but what kind of people are finding success with it?
The intermediates. The ones that want to be at a higher
knowledge.
Level, but they didn't know how to get there.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it just bumped up their game. And these are the ones that are telling me, Steve, that they'll bet, like they'll start with a $200 budget, and they might maybe bet $500 in a day. And now they're saying they're getting to $2,000 in a day. And so they're having more success and enjoying the game more because they can stay longer.
Well, that's the churn. That's the churn conversation.
That's correct.
That the industry needs desperately because takeout is high, and it chips away at people. Then we're also dealing with and I'm very curious about this. I think I asked you this 6 months ago, because this is so data driven and modern efficiency. What's your opinion on the computer assisted wagering groups and their influence on the pools?
So I'm a CAW player. I have a team of people that we do bet, and the problem I'm having with it, I really like where the NYRA's going from making sure that you stop it at I think it's 2 minutes before the race.
Three minutes.
Is it three? I love it because really where you see the wagering on those computer assisted wagering is a minute before the race.
Right.
And so it changes the odds, and we're seeing that here in this tournament. It's really driving me crazy. I literally took this top Scotty pick that was 15-1 on the morning line today. I forget which track it was, but we had it at 5-2 on the morning line. Can imagine. I was all over that horse. It was 19-1. And in 1 minute, that horse went to 6-1 and won the race gate to wire on the turf. And I can't remember which race it was. I want to say it's Gulfstream Park, but it was really frustrating for me because I played that in the tournament, in the consolation tournament today. And so that needs to stop because it's really, I'm really tired of seeing these horses I like go for, and I'm a computer assisted wager player. I'm a CAW player. It's really frustrating to see these horses drop from, you got a horse going in the gate at 5-1, it goes off at 8-5.
Are you willing to explain to people the relationship you've got with the racetracks and what advantages, because it is volume, it's a volume discount. Explain why it's, is it an unfair advantage or is it appropriate?
Well, that's a tough question because the thing I do like about it is the pools are increasing because of these wagers. I think what NYRA is doing is really important. We need those wagers. We need those pools to be bigger. So if you've got the right horses and you select right, that's great. But the problem with it is they're very accurate, and you want to know what the odds of your horse are right when they're going into the gate. You want to kind of know. It needs to be close to that. It can't go drop like today from 19 to 1, 18 to 1, down to 6 to 1. Like I was the four horse, and many people probably know who I'm talking about, especially Equinedge users. So I think it's a necessary evil, to be honest with you, Steve, but I think that there needs to be some rules in place to protect the retail wager as well, player as well, you know, that's not betting as much money.
There was Nerve.
Nerve, that was it, the four horse.
Yeah.
That's correct. That horse was 18 or 19 to 1 going into the gate, or maybe a minute before, and dropped down to 6 to 1. It was the top Scotty pick, and we had it at 5 to 2 on the morning line. Did you see that?
Oh, of course I did. Steve and I were talking about that earlier. He was explaining to me how the process works, but I don't know. We need to be better.
Yes.
Without question.
But we need those pools, too. Because those CAWs are putting a lot of money into the pools. I just think Naira's doing a really good job there. I like what Naira's doing. Just stop it maybe 3 minutes beforehand. Have your wagers in. But let me tell you something. To be able to change the CAW is going to have a hard time because they have to change their systems that they built out and spent millions of dollars on. They've got to change those to be ready for a race 3 minutes ahead of time instead of 30 seconds or a minute, so it changes the entire game for them as well. So, but I still think it's best for the game to stop those from coming in 3 minutes ahead of time. I like that.
According to what Joe Longo told Matt Hegarty, they moved on. They weren't the groups that were.
They stopped.
Yeah.
You know why, right? They'll come back. They'll come back, but they had to stop because it changes the entire game. Because they're not looking at handicapping like Equinedge is doing. We don't look, even my CAW, it does not look at the wagering side of it. It looks at the handicapping side of it. Whereas those CAWs are looking 100% at what the odds are. That's it. And I don't like that as much. At least we're doing it in a wagering style, which we're looking at wagering. Who are the best horses? What is the best value based on our Equinedge morning line? Things like that. That's what we are looking at. So they'll come back. They'll figure it out. But it's a big factor being able to put in that wager on the CAW like seconds before the race goes off. But I don't think that's good for the retail, for the rest of us.
Did you ever expect when you first got involved in the game that you'd be an industry participant on this in this regard?
No, that's a great question. No, honestly, I when TVG asked me to be on as a personality as well, I was blown away by that. I'm not a person that even likes to take a picture, honestly. I mean that.
I got a great picture of you.
I appreciate that. But if you asked me, say, hey, say cheese and take a picture with me, I'd be like, make these goofy faces. But I fought my fears, and I'm proud of that. And the other thing is that initially this team wanted to just focus on the betting. Just the betting. Say, Scott, why do we need this? Is going to cost us more money to try to put this in the game. I said, I want to change the game, and I think we can do that. It's a long-term play, and it's a long shot, but I'm all about it.
Good for you. I enjoyed our conversation months ago, and for the same reason, it's one of the reasons, people like you and so many of the people you encounter here are so enthusiastic about the game, and even people that probably have reason to be, jaundiced about it and frustrated, disgusted. They keep at it. And it's one of the reasons I try to be as upbeat about the game on a daily basis with the show for years at this point, 15 of them, because there's so much to like, and there's so many positives, and there's such satisfaction to it, and it's for people that are thinkers and people with intellect. And it's a catch-all too from all walks of life. I mean, there's just an infinite amount of things that are positive about the game, and so
there is
the people that are dedicated to trying to make it better and enhance it for those that are feeling their way. That's a wonderful mantra and thing to be. Thing to be associated with.
And I got to say, you don't know how many people that I know in the. On Wall Street or sell solutions that have such busy lives that love this game because they're like, follow me. Pull that closer.
Sorry,
there
Steve,
you
I
go.
Apologize.
No, no, just a little.
They follow me and root for me, and they're like, man, this game is awesome, but I just don't have the time to put into it, to do it the way you do it. And yeah. I'm like, guys, look, I don't do it the way you think I do it, you know, like you think I do. Like, I know I used to, but I don't anymore. And a solution like yours can really bring a lot more people into this game. And, you know, Steve, to piggyback off what you said, I have so many friends in this industry. I've met so many smart people and good people in this industry, and I think products like yours can bring even more people, like this young man over here, Kenneth, that's 21 years old, about to be 22, that's calling races and was in the final day, you know, having a chance to be up there. You're good for our game.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. I want to say this, too, to the people that are listening, too. It's really important that you focus on your wagering. It really is. Like, try to really force yourself. We naturally handicap. We want to handicap. It doesn't even, it's not even work for us.
Right.
To look at a race, we kind of escape, right? But you really need to force yourself to focus on your wagering, your money management. And I'll tell you another thing for our game. They need to see us using tools like Equine Edge so they can go, that's attractive. Yep. I don't think using past performances is going to attract anybody. I just genuinely don't. They're going to be like, this is the game? I got to go learn how to speak another language?
I can tell you, if I was new to this game and I was somebody that got drawn into it by somebody like John or me, and they threw the past performances in front of me, this black and white sheet of paper, and it had all this graffiti on it, the way I'd look at it, I'd say no. But something cool like yours, blue sight, hip, got fires, money bags, and all that kind of stuff, that's how you get new people into this game.
That's right.
May sound corny, may sound cliche to those that are listening. It's not. Give it a look. I'm telling you, it's an innovative product. He handicapped the race in 3 minutes and found a horse and paid $740 to place, for goodness
sake. And it had the 8 horse in second as well.
Right.
As a matter of fact, and that was a Scotty long shot. Pull up Gulfstream Park real quickly. I'm just curious, do we still have it up?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Bear with me.
That's okay. You're fine. Just click on Gulfstream Park, which is on fire, and the race number 6. I'm just curious who has.
You mean Golden Gate, right?
Golden Gate, excuse me. Yeah.
Oh, it logged us out.
Oh, it logged us out.
Because he's using it over here.
Oh. Who's the guy at Golden Gate? Who's it? John.
Hey.
Golden Gate.
Hey, John. Golden Gate, race 6.
What is the top 2 Scotty picks, and what is the Scotty long shot?
Hey, Steve, as they're doing that, I want to tell you, they are moving the post times ahead at Del Mar.
So the 2 horses the top pick, and
so
what's his morning line? Or what's his morning line, and what's
mandatory.
His...
We'll do it now.
So he's at 2-1. We have it on the morning line, and we have it at 9-5. What did it go off at? And it just won easily, right? What was his win percentage? 26%. Who got second in that race? One? Did it have any kind of GSR, a good win percentage?
Who that, baby?
Good job. Second choice, 21%. How about the GSRs in that race?
It's amazing. This is quite something.
The 9 was 58.
58 and 9. How about the 2?
The 2 was 52, and the 1 was 47.
One was 47, but the top so the 2 was the top pick, and then the 1 was the second pick.
The top choice, but it was also Scotty's pick.
It was Scotty's pick as well.
The second choice on the softball.
Okay, so the 2 horse. There you go. It's that easy. How much handicapping do we do, guys?
not very much. Speaking of handicapping, Scotty,
we got to look at
race 6 at Del Mar. This is our next mandatory for the NHC after a long, long, lengthy break. Steve, can we go through the leaderboard again? Could you remind me of that?
Absolutely. Chris Goodall took the lead with the help of that runner-up.
He had the 8?
Yeah, at Saratoga.
Oh, at Saratoga. The runner-up
right
there.
Before.
Okay, gotcha.
$325. $6 back is Jose Arias, $319. Paul Caglia, $318. $316 for Justin Mustari. Brendan Fay, who's been very clever, has gone from 10th to 5th and has put himself within $40, $37 of the lead. $288. $283 for Sarah Wiener. Paul Yaffe, $273. And then the 3 players who have yet to cash, Travis Allison, $271. Jason Phillips, $269. Jeff Vandry, $267. So we're top to bottom, we're still only $58 between 10th to 1st.
And Jose would be the first two-time winner. He won in 2014. That's an incredible... I mean, people don't understand how hard this tournament is.
Oh, I do. Believe me, I do. This is my third time here. Nonetheless, that would be incredible. Speaking of race six...
Yep. All right, we got race six.
Five furlongs, $72,000 allowance on the lawn, Steve. Right now, the two-horse... Perfectionist
Phil
D'Amato and Flavian Pratt.
Who's the top Scotty pick?
Your favorite, the two horse.
The four horse is?
I'm just going to give you my
over
pick.
Over the two, and then the Scotty long shot
like
is the seven.
I love this pick. It's the
and
four.
Who's got the top GSR?
Curiosity for Peter Miller and Hernandez. Second off the layoff. Looked brilliant in his comeback race with a win by a neck. They step him up in class. Miller's the best sprint turf trainer out there, in my opinion. This four at 4-1 presents value. I would take him all day.
9-2.
Based on the win percentages, based on the Scotty pick, it's wide open based on the information, right?
Okay, I'm on the four.
You're on the four. That's the top Scotty pick.
Let me get Rich Yang some thoughts here.
Well, I like the two Perfectionist, so that's my horse.
What? Give us some rationale here. What's the rationale, Rich?
Well, I like Flavian Pratt, and I think there'll be enough pace for this horse to close into, and had a little bit of trouble last time out. So I'm just looking for a clean trip, and hopefully he can get through.
It's a nine-horse field, and let's give a quick rundown here. We're about 10 minutes to post. They're all saddled up, and Mr. Vargas, for everybody's friend, Samantha Siegel, JMS Stable. This is a 7-year-old gelding, not a horse that she bred. And Brian Corner, of course, second off layoff. Jessica Pfeiffer, and currently 9-2 off the 5-1 morning line. Perfectionist, as Rich just talked about, a Voronsky colt. For Phil D'Amato and Flavian Pratt, 3-1 for the Elwood Johnson Trust and a group of partners. Masoot, the veteran gelding who really has had a funny career, has missed big stretches of time. Keith Brackpool, actually, this is a Keith Brackpool homebred. Gio Ponti, 7-year-old. He's in for the tag. This is a optional claimer. Masoot, 9-2 with Rispoli, Carla Gaines trains. Grit and Curiosity, as discussed by Bobby. Peter Miller and J.J. Hernandez, 9-2 from the 3-1 morning line. A Macho Uno gelding. Rager and John Velasquez out there. Rager, 10-1. For Andrew Lerner, also in for the tag, coming in from a richer optional claiming event, and you're getting 10-1 off the 12-1 morning line. Explosive Mandela for Ramona Bass and Perry Bass, Kyle Fry, 38-1, huge price on the six. Explosive, lightly raced Liam's Map gelding. Off of a little bit of a summer layoff, last seen in May. First Prez, Edwin Maldonado, 10-1 for Doug O'Neill and Don Disney. The familiar white jacket with those red diamonds. And actually, Disney, I'm going to guess he bred this horse. He sure did, because it's a son of First Dude, who, of course, was very successful for Mr. Disney.
Yep.
And out of a Northern, a Fleet Mare, how about that? 12-1 morning line, 10-1 currently with Edwin Maldonado, Mick Werter. This is Rafael De Leon and KD, Kent DeSormo, 29-1. Mick Werter, first off the claim, taken from Doug O'Neill and Glenn Sorenstein and WC Racing. And now Steve Miotti and Giovanni Franco. So this is a horse that was claimed two back by Miotti. And 7-2 morning line, currently 9-2. There's your field of nine.
And Steve, Jamming Eddie's working out very well. That August 20th work out of the gate, 4 furlongs and 47 2/5. That's lightning fast. You definitely want your horses in shape and ready to get out of the gate in a race like this. So many of these races from a sprint variety are one leaving the gate. a horse I wanted to talk to you about that I believe, based on odds, is going to be the most played horse up here is the 7, First Prez. I mean, what's his odds right now? He's 10-1. It's Doug O'Neill. It's Maldonado. They've had a lot of success together. He did win his last race. He did hold on, but I thought he was visually impressive. I think he's going to be the most played horse up there. But again, I can't stress enough, if I'm in the top 5, I'm playing the 4, Grit and Curiosity. I think that horse is a standout, and I think he will win this race.
Oh, man. You know, one of the other angles for me, like in the 2 horse, was, you know, we talked yesterday about how in turf sprints at 5 and 5.5 furlongs at Del Mar, the 1 and the 2 posts have been dominating.
Yeah, we did
more than dominating. It's been phenomenal how many horses get that inside trip. And it may not be as much as how much of an advantage of it is, but maybe because of the tighter turns of the turf course, it's tougher to win from the outside.
Just
got to lose. You lose ground, basically, on the turn.
Yeah, Rich, you lose so much ground. I mean, to me, trip is not everything, but in any races, it means so much.
It really helps.
If you're sprinting and you're in a 3-4-5 path, it is so difficult, unless you're just an absolute monster, to make up that ground and beat good or solid horses inside of you that have saved so many more feet each and every step.
Well, a perfect example of that was Life is Good. I mean, Mike Smith kept his horse in a 5 path all the way around the racetrack. And when you lose by 6 inches.
I think Steve and I have already
I'm already in trouble for beating up on Smitty this morning on Loose on the Lead. I got an angry email.
Well, the only out I could consider would be if maybe it's impossible Mike Smith was riding to directions.
Because he's a horse with this reputation as being a little bit difficult, and he did, to be fair, he did drift out off the turn. He was getting out on the turn. So by the time he starts to straighten, he was already in the 4 path. But at that point, how do you not close up the rail and not sense pretty quickly that Jackie's Warrior, at least give your horse a chance to eyeball that horse? You do not want to be past the 16th pole, and now you're, the horse sees him now. You've got to get him in eyesight.
And to piggyback off Steve's point, once Life is Good saw that Jackie's Warrior passed him, what did Life is Good do?
He dug in.
He came back after him after running ridiculous fractions. The best horse in that race was a 6, and I'm just going to make a statement now, and I don't care if I get in trouble.
Yeah.
Mike Smith will not be riding Life is Good next time out. It will be Johnny Velasquez or an Ortiz brother. That's what it's going to be. Mark my words.
And I apologize. It wasn't meant as a knock on him, but I was just using it as an example of where you can save a little bit of ground. It can make a big difference in a horse race. You lose by 6 inches.
Yep.
Scotty, what was the final dispensation?
So if I had to just guess in a wide open race, I would say with Pratt, the 2 horse is going to sit a good trip. Had trouble last time out at this surface and distance, and I think the 2 horse could be really tough to beat.
I think the 2 is the second most likely winner. I'm hell bent on the 4. I think Peter Miller is the best sprinter trainer out there. I think the 4 looked really good last time out, and for Miller to step this horse back up from a claiming level race and put him in an allowance race, I think it's 4. But I'll tell you, if the 4 gets beat, I think it's by the 2.
Yeah, I think the 2 is going to run a good race. It's wide open. You could get a price in this race as well, but I would go with the 2 horse because I just trust in Pratt to, if you like a horse and the win percentages are close, take the best jockey, honestly, especially when you talk about Flavian Pratt on the turf. I don't think there's anybody better. I really don't.
In all the country.
I'm going to make a case for the 5 horse here.
Okay. Tell me, Steve, why.
I'll tell you why. Because Andrew Lerner, who's 0 for the meet, he's 0 for 18, and it's very unusual. First of all, he's in for the tag, so he's cleared the condition, number one. And all you got to do is go back to April at Santa Anita on Santa Anita Derby Day. Johnny was out there. Johnny rode him to his last win. And the reason the horse won was because Johnny, as Rich Migliore says, gets his position going forward. Rager is going to be closer today than he's been with Maldonado. And at 11-1, Andrew Lerner gets off the duck today.
So I get a lot of trainers that say, hey, Scotty, I want to know how my horse looks. But they'll call me and they'll say, hey, Scotty, I love my horse today. And I look at it and it's 5% chance of winning. They said the horse is doing his best, as good as it's ever done. I'm like, I believe that, but it's still 5 or 6% chance of winning. And that's what I would say about your 5. right? And I'm looking at that. There's no metric at all that lines up with the 5 winning this race. Now, by the way, the 5 could win this race, but it's not going to win very often. And so you have to play those odds. And so for me, the 5 would be a no play, even if it wins.
Understood.
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, just out of curiosity, and you know I'm all in on the 4. It's my second strongest play of the day behind the 6 that you didn't play in the pick 6, but I won't bring that up anymore.
God.
What is the
That was an error on my part.
Absolutely. What is the win percentage say on the 4 horse that I like at Del Mar in race 6?
So the 4 horse is 15%, 5-2 on the Equinedge morning line, but it is the top Scotty, so there's conflicting information, right? So when you see that, for me, it's a hard, I'm spreading in a race like that probably, unless I'm seeing something, right? Or maybe I see the horse is going to get a really good trip. It's really tough. Now, I have a simulated race that I'm testing right now, but I'm not on my computer to see what that way. I would love to be able to throw that out there, but I do think the 2 is going to get a good trip. I think the 2 is better than the 4, possibly.
Right. Well, we're 1 minute to post. I was telling Steve, not that I think this horse is your most likely winner, but Doug O'Neill at 10-1 in a sprint race in California, when these guys are looking, especially 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, yeah, are looking to close the gap and to get into 300s. I'm going to make a prediction. I think the 7 is the most played horse up here on the stage.
Well, I'm a big Doug O'Neill fan, and he's wonderful with all horses. I mean, so I'm, 2 Kentucky Derby winners. But he's cold right now.
He is.
Right?
I mean, but if you're a tournament player and you're sitting up there and you got to make up ground, I think, much like when I told the guys earlier with Chad Brown at 8-1, I have no problem going down with the ship with Doug O'Neill at 10-1 if I need a price. Because how many times are you going to get great trainers like this at double-digit odds?
I think in a race like this, depending on where you're at, if you're sitting in 10th place or 8th or 9th place, then you need to find a long shot.
Yep.
Maybe you would do that.
Yep.
If you're in contention
5, 4,
right
3,
now,
2,
you need
1.
A winner.
Absolutely.
And for me, it'd be the 2 or the
yep.
4, probably.
Yep.
Scotty Longshot is the 7. So maybe one of those 3 horses,
yep.
But you need a winner is what you have to pick. And I think if I need a winner right now and I'm in the top 3 or 4 right now, I got to take Flavian Pratt on the
yep.
turf.
And if I'm in the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm going to take Peter Miller on,
yeah.
on the turf of California. So, Steve, we're about to go in the gate. I'm going to put the mic down and walk up to my lucky spot.
Your lucky spot.
We're going to put the mic
give me that.
Here.
There you go.
I got to go 3 for 3 here, Steve. Come on.
All right. It's, as I said earlier, without Roger Satina here,
runners facing out to the gate.
Bobby has absolutely taken on the role as the most enthusiastic rooter on hand.
Mr. Vargas coming in.
I'm surprised nobody really latched on to Vargas, the Samantha Siegel's horse, the midshipman gelding.
Explosive, the gray.
7-2
goes at
5-2 on Perfectionist.
His first prez.
11-1 on first prez. The Disney
his
O'Neill
goes at
the sit 9-2.
Grit and Curiosity Loaded.
That's the 4 that they've lauded
and
here.
And in the white
actually, just went up 5-1 now on the 4.
Here is Jamming Eddie.
Jamming Eddie 5-1 Miotti and
Jamming Eddie's at
Giovanni Orland. Franco. Here we go.
And away they go. They all broke very well. First prez in the red cap is fast. McWhirter on the far side. Mr. Vargas kicks through at the rail. Perfectionistic in the white blinkers right there. Grit and Curiosity can't go with him. Explosive is the gray. On the far side, we have Jamming Eddie. Then we come back to Mayzoot. And last of all is Rager. Into the turn they go, and first prez is the leader. Up alongside of first prez, we have McWhirter, Perfectionistic, tracking them from third. At the rail, Mr. Vargas. Alongside of that is Explosive on the far side, Jamming Eddie. Mayzoot is in a little tight here, got nowhere to go, and then Grit and Curiosity. They come for home now, and getting their lead is McWhirter in the white colors. Now, Perfectionistic is let loose down the center of the track. Mayzoot is running on from behind as well. They come for home, it's McWhirter, Perfectionistic, Mayzoot finishing fast, Perfectionistic held on, Mayzoot a fast finishing second, look like Mr. Vargas might have come late to snatch third.
And I'm just trying to pull up the the selection grid. Give me a second. There it is. And the two, Jose Arias pops, so does Paul Kalia, so does Jason Phillips with his first hit. That at 3-1 was the final price, and that's going to get Jose back in front.
And Steve, I just got to say to Scotty's point, yeah, that's all Flavian Pratt there. That was a magical ride.
And who was second there? Do we know yet?
The three was second at 5-1.
Well, Chris Goodall's got the three, and so does Travis Allison. So Allison and Phillips with their first markers of the afternoon.
Yeah, just a magical ride by Pratt. Well, just once again proving that he's in a class in his own out in California. The four had a really rough trip, was steadied a couple of times, ended up wide.
Well, this will be really interesting. We obviously are going to get a let's switch back over to the board. And they have a tendency to go official fast here at Del Mar, so we'll get official as soon as we get, it was all Pratt, right?
It was all Pratt.
All Pratt.
That was all Pratt. Scott, I mean, to your point, I mean, he won that race.
He won that race in a while. And look at how many horses were there at the wire. Remember we talked about that?
Right. Yep.
Look at those. What was there, about 7-8 horses at
yeah.
the wire?
Yeah.
And look at the. Unfortunately, if you play, you spread in a race like that, which I probably would have. But if you're looking in a tournament,
yeah.
you got to take the best jockey in a situation like that. He's going to figure out a way to get that horse home.
On that topic, Scotty, talk about that in terms of rider changes, in terms of barn changes, in terms of equipment changes. How does a system like yours adjust for those?
So the algorithms, believe it or not, they learn. These algorithms continue to get better
wow.
and better and better. And so they evolve. And I don't even know what they look at anymore.
Right.
I have no idea what they're looking at.
Yeah.
And in a situation like that, though, none of the metrics matched up. The Scotty picks, the Scotty long shot, the top GSRs, nothing matched up. So you know it's a wide open race. And if you spread in a race like that, which I might have, then you get the favorite to win, and you're bummed out.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that being said, too, Pratt's on that two horse, and you figured he was going to get a good trip. He's had a perfect trip. And Pratt on the turf, he finds a way. Going
yeah.
global last week.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave that horse an absolute perfect trip.
Right. You know, and yesterday, I thought, yes, he came up a little bit short at Saratoga in some races, but he just puts horses in the right spot and does the best he can on dirt or turf. He has turned into, I slept on Pratt for a while, Scotty. It took me a while to come around to him because I'm from the East Coast originally. I'm a New York guy. I love New York racing, and I just always thought to myself, you know, jockeys from New York are just the best. I don't want to hear it. You know, that's just it. But this guy is elite, period. And outside of IRAD, I don't know if there's a guy out there that I would take over him.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question on that.
Because
I'm an IRAD fan. You know, I live in Fort Lauderdale now, so
right.
I'm an IRAD fan.
Right.
But there's many times you look at IRAD and you go, I mean, that ride he gave that horse is unbelievable. But how many times you also looked at IRAD and said, what the heck was that?
Yeah,
Do you ever say that about Pratt?
When
do you ever look at Pratt and go, what the hell was that?
I can't
remember it.
I'm trying to think of the last time that
he's as consistent as any jockey,
right.
especially on the turf, that I have ever seen.
Yeah, I get it. I'll take IRAD probably because I'm biased, but Pratt has proven me wrong. And I hope, not to change the, go down another rabbit hole, but I wish he would take his tack and go to New York and go to Florida.
You can't have him.
I want him on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I want to see him every day because I think he's proven that he can go to the East Coast and be a big-time rider. But, hey, I don't think the jockeys in New York want that because they'll lose mouths.
Well, they will, and not only that, too, Flavian's never going to do that because he owns Southern California.
Right.
I mean, you have to remember that when you're playing the horses and you're making a decision, especially on the turf, you're going, I want to bet a horse. You have to remember that all the best horses, they all want Flavian on their horse. So you need to be looking at everything that he is on.
Right. Well, isn't there more money to be made, though, on the East Coast, especially the New York and the New York where they've increased their purses? At the end of the day, you want to make the most money. And my point to you is, I don't think he'd win at the winning percentage he's winning in California, but I think he could go to the East Coast, win less races but make more money, and win the big races, win the Sword Dancer. I know he's coming to the Triple Crown races, but look, he's a Hall of Famer, and I just feel like he would get even more exposure if he were in New York and in Florida, and I just think he's proven to everyone at this juncture that he's as good as any rider in the country.
Well, I think part of his consideration you have to remember is that, yes, he's a good jockey altogether, but he's great on the turf,
yeah.
And you've got the weather in California in comparison to the East Coast, and a lot of these races are taken off the turf, and I don't think that favors Flavian at all, so
totally
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yep. Well, Steve, what is the what's the update of leaderboard once again?
I'm just sending out a missive.
All right.
And Juan Arias has reclaimed the lead. There it goes. So let's send this baby out. All right.
So Who's trying to be the only person to ever win this tournament twice?
The unbelievable, actually.
Truly unbelievable. Truly.
333.40 now for Juan Arias. Paul Kalia, who is rallying, 332.70, sits in second. Chris Goodall, 331.80. So the top three are separated by $2.60. I just wrote, this is the tightest. Very quickly become the tightest, not just final table, but NHC ever. We've got Justin Mustari sitting back at 312. It's starting to become desperate time now with three races remaining. The Del Mar 7th is next, and the Golden Gate 8th, and the Del Mar 8th. We're going to basically have a champion here in the next 50 minutes. It'll be decided. And for Brendan Fay, 288.70. So now a considerable, now what, $45 back. Sarah Wiener, $50 back. Jason Phillips, $50 back. Travis Allison does get his first score, 277. So also $55. Paul Yaffe and Jeff Vandry. Jeff Vandry's been blanked. Paul Yaffe, 273. Jeff Vandry, 267. So as we look to the Del Mar 7th, we got a 9-horse field with an even money favorite.
And Steve, this even money favorite to me, and I looked at these races this morning, I think he's as vulnerable as an even money favorite can be. I think there are a multitude of ways from a tournament play perspective, not a window wagering perspective, a tournament play perspective, when you're in a situation like this to change your life, that you can go. And I'm not going to give you my selection yet, but I'll tell you this. I love speed on the dirt, and the one looks like he's Lone Speed.
Living my best life, Costa Aronis, this is Sadler and Bravo. You've got 9-1 right now off the 8-1 morning line. Melting Snow, Jerry Hollendorfer, and Juan Hernandez 8-1. Stella Noir, DeSormo, Keith, with Edwin Maldonado 18-1. Queen Gall, the second Sadler, Johnny V 5-1. Focus First, Johnny Wong, who's had a very shockingly difficult Del Mar. Jose Valdivia Jr. 36-1. Here's your even money favorite, Bella Vita for Colleen Shaw, and I'm going to guess a homebred of Colleen's, because it's by Byron, his own horse, of course, with the soccer names, Dortmund. Where's Dortmund standing?
That's a great
babies?
Question. Where's Dortmund? I thought he was moved overseas. Steve.
Maybe.
German soccer team or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the horse, Dortmund.
Where's the horse?
My pick in the Derby that year, he was third.
Yeah, a lot of people's picks.
Anyway, Bayern, this Bayern Philly is even money with Flavian Pratt, Simon. South Korea. Thank you. It's a deal. I like Dortmund. 33-1 on Last Kiss, First Kiss for Gary Mandela and Jessica Pfeiffer. KD is riding for Vladimir Surin and Brand Jam. Tis a Master, 13-1, and Big Sweep for Red Barons Barn and Rancho Temescal. The very powerful outfit, Mark Glatt, Abel Cedillo, 9-2.
And again, Steve, now let's just start talking about the folks. I'm talking about the winner here, right? Let's just talk about the folks 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are going to be most likely, according to the numbers, one of those four is going to win the championship. I think some of these guys are going to take a good hard look at Big Sweep. Mark Glatt,
third off the layoff, has ran admirably both starts. Last time out, took all the money, just didn't have enough in the tank. Will you see better? Will you get a better effort? A third off the layoff with Glatt. I think the nine's got a big chance to win this race.
This, I'll tell you what, from a fixed standpoint, it's a very tight group. I saw that Bella Vita tailed off in the last, and so maybe that's part of your interest in the vulnerability. Glatt is very competitive here at 9-2. Might be one of the options for one of the leaders, as you suggested. Yep. Rich, what are you doing here in this Del Mar 7th going 6.5? And I got to get somebody on Twitter is asking Scotty to put together a $48 pick four right now.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, let's back in the batter's box here. I thought the six was the by far the most likely winner, but I think if you're looking for some price, I was looking maybe at the one horse, Living My Best Life as a possible horse, showing some speed. And my other horse might be the number four, Queen Gold, was a horse that interested me a lot from John Sadler and J.R. Velasquez. Out of the prices, because the favorite is so short, I probably, if I was a tournament player, I might look at the four, Queen Gold, John Velasquez, taking over for Trevor McCarthy. Try to get some price.
Who's your top selection again? Your
My top choice was the six. I just thought the six was just going to be too tough, but that, you can't play that horse, you know?
You know, for me, Steve, it's I really haven't decided yet. I'm still analyzing. A part of me, let's go to the one, Steve. I want to talk to him. I want to talk about him with you. Sadler is hot. Joe Bravo felt like winning everything under the sun. He certainly did me a ton of favors on Friday and gave me a chance. Stretching out in distance, based off that last effort, is he going to get even more loose on the lead here? And that 5 furlong, 1 minute flat work, August 20th, he's live at 9-1. What am I missing here? Why is he 9-1?
Partly, I would guess partly because of the even money. I mean, there's nobody. Who's the second? Yeah, second choice is the 9. Then you got a 5-1 shot. He should be third, fourth choice, but the way the board is, he's 8-1. I'll tell you one thing from a. He does seem poised to move step forward. It feels like this is a time for him to step forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, look at it and go, well, he quit at 6. Well, sure he did, but he had more pace to deal with in that race, and now he gets 6.5. If he uses that same gate speed that he's used going 6, he's going to be even further in front turning for home. It's going to take one hell of an effort to catch him, in my opinion. So the more I talk about this, Rich, the more I'm leaning 1. But make no mistake, I respect your 4 as well. And it just goes back to my point. I was talking to Kenneth earlier about this. You've got some very playable races here with not just an outstanding long shot, and this is another one. I mean, outstanding favorite, excuse me. I think the 6 is very vulnerable, and I think there's a multitude of ways to go. I think a lot of players are going to take a long look, hard look at the 1. I think they're going to take a hard look at the 4. I think the 9 is very playable. I think the 8. I think the guys that are in the 200, Steve, are going to take a look at possibly the 8 horse, second off the layoff with Kent DeSormo. The figures aren't there, but they've got to be creative. There's a lot of ways you can go here.
Yeah.
I think it's between the 1 and the 4. I'm starting to lean to the 1 with Joe Bravo. I think they're going to have to catch him, Rich.
He's going to be on the front end. You know, one thing about a horse that I didn't pick, but actually is an interesting animal, is the 9, Big Sweep.
Yep.
I think sometimes when you see someone like Flavien Prat riding this horse every single time, and then when he has options, he has more than one horse that he rode last time, he chooses the 6. Well, that doesn't mean that the 9 doesn't have a chance.
No,
it just means
not.
That he had to make a decision, him and his agent. So you get Abel Sotillo, and right now this horse, I believe, is 9-2, which is actually a pretty juicy price.
I'll put it this way,
if Pratt had stayed with this horse would be 3-1 or 5-2.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can't tell me that Abel Sotillo is that much of a negative to generate the 2-point loss, you know. So that's a good, you know, that's kind of good value, I guess.
Who do you like, Steve?
I do like the 9 at that number. But I
I certainly understand why this favorite is even money. And, you know, when you see a horse that was second to Gamine, albeit 10 lengths behind.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to be 10 lengths behind, for sure.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed, Steve, is every time Flavion Pratt rode the 6 Bella Vita, he did not put this horse on the lead like the last time. His tendency to be able to sit second or third, and just that little bit might be enough to help conserve this horse's energy for the last part of the race. So maybe it's just that he gets along with this horse a lot better than some of these other riders have.
That's a fair point. I mean, the interesting part about this is it really feels like there's three horses that can win this.
One, four, six, and nine. I've got four.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I won't argue that. Queen Gold's going to have to run a career best in here.
Steve, my question is this. Let's go inside of the minds of the players from 288 down to the 267 level. So I'm referencing 5th through 10th. Are they now playing to make as much money as they can? Are they going to look at creative horses, maybe like the 7 or the 8? You know, I told you earlier how I would play. I would just be grateful to be in the top 10 and try to make as much money as I can at this
point. Sure. It depends as well on what they're seeing in the 8th at Del Mar and the 8th at Golden Gate. Those are both races with 11 horse fields.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point.
If there's a, you know, an 18, 20 to 1 shot that they envision in one of the late races, might just be able to take the 9-2 here.
I could not agree more, Steve. And now that I look at race 8, they're going a mile on the lawn. Smells of a long shot. Play who you like here, then be creative in race 8. I just do not, genuinely, Rich, I do not like the 6. I think the 1 and the 4 are the most likely winners of this race that we're currently discussing. And then the outlier to me would be the 9. But yeah. I'm just going to go with the 1 and think about tomorrow.
You know, I used a comment about an hour ago of, you know, you take what the defense gives you. And if, you know, if there's not a $40, $30 horse in this field, well, you take what you can.
Right.
You know, maybe the 4 is most likely winner. Maybe the 1. You know, maybe the 9 does good. But,
he's working.
You know, as far as a big price, maybe you try to fire that bullet later on, one of the last two races or both of the last two races in the tournament. You go for the price.
7 minutes to post. This is the third to the last race of the contest. We started this on, if you played in the last chance, next chance, we started on Thursday and then Friday and Saturday. Close to 140 races for people to consider. Then today, another 22. And then these final 7 for these 10 players. And somebody is going to
change their life.
Although, if it's Jose Arias,
I guess not. His life is already changed. But still, Steve, the pressure of being the first guy to ever win 2 NHCs and just be a first ballot Hall of Famer at that juncture, not to say he already isn't.
Yep.
I mean, that's something to behold, that he can go to bed every night for the rest of his life.
That's Babe Ruth kind of stuff.
I am the GOAT when it comes to the NHC at this point, and that's a big deal. And I think that's pressure within itself. And I think you could argue that's even more pressure than the other folks that are like, oh, my gosh, I'm here. I'm going to win a lot of money anyway. This guy's looking at himself going, I got a chance to do something nobody else has ever done.
Well, you know, Shu, by the way he's been playing in this final table, obviously the pressure's not getting him. He's making some good decisions.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's hanging in there. He takes what the defense gives him. And, you know, we'll see what he does in the last couple of legs to come out swinging. I know when, you know, I was sitting at the final table with Kenny and a few years ago, when he came into that last race, he was in second place. He worked backwards and figured out what kind of price do I need to try to win the tournament. And then you know what kind of horses you're going to look at in that very last race. But the better position you put yourself in, that means you don't have to reach for a 20-1 shot. If you can win the tournament with an 8-1 shot, well, that's a huge difference. So what you do now determines what you do later.
Something that just popped in my mind when I was listening to you talk about the game theory and the poker play aspect of it. Steve, nobody's going to play the 6 here, even if it's Jose on leading. I mean, he's got a block here, right? I mean, he's got a block, so he's got to be saying to himself, who's going to be the most played horse here? I mean, what do I got to do to protect myself? But the problem he's in, not only does he have to protect, he's only a dollar in the lead. I mean, if the second place person.
Oh, it's tight.
I mean, tight. Yeah. So, I mean, you talk about the toughest of tough decisions here. It's like, okay, do I take who I like, or do I take who I think everybody else likes and try to block? I know for me personally, I would put my foot on the gas and I'd play who I like, and that would be the one horse at 10-1. But for me, I might be benefited by that because I think there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to play the one at 10-1 based on Joe Bravo's success over the weekend at East Long Speed. He's still working on it over here, Steve.
All right, they're
pushing it, right?
That's ironic. We're both talking about Sadler horses. The one and the four are both Sadler.
Both Sadler horses, right. Yes. Yeah. But does it not tell you, or maybe it doesn't, I think Joe Bravo is the second best jockey on the grounds. Does it not? Well, John Velasquez is out here. I guess not. Either way, I mean,
Bravo hit the ground
running. John's a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Prothumer and Roddy
very well. Obviously, Johnny
B's
a Hall of Famer. So I respect both of them. Either one of them can win. I think those are the two most likely.
You know, and I love when a trainer has an entry like this with two different running styles because they're not going to face each other. The one's going to leave, and JR is going to sit a trip, and Sadler wouldn't mind if they deadheated at the wire.
I don't think
they need cash two paychecks.
Yeah, I think he's got a real big chance here to run one and two, but. I don't know. Maybe Bella Vita's making me look like a fool, but I don't see it. I just don't see it. It's me. So.
Let's look at the odds. And actually, the 9 is driven down to 7-2 now. So the value is quickly being sapped out of what looks like, you know, one of the alternatives. Queen Gold is 5-1. Take a picture of that. Or here, take it here.
Yeah, we got to get Scotty over here. Scotty, the public demands it.
John, take a picture of that play.
Scotty, the public demands you.
Okay. Did you see where the...
All right, guys. So, look, we handicapped that in about... How long was that? 3 minutes? 4 minutes?
A little bit more.
Okay. So, I'm doing a $64 ticket, okay? 1469 with 1467 with 2 and 3 with 5, 6, 7, and 10. Now, you can cut back on that, but that was what I thought was realistic.
Hey, Steve, hold on. I'm going to go play that.
But what's impressive about that is we were able to do that in about three minutes, I'd say, right? And so now we could spend more time on that and probably be even more accurate. But we're able to have a realistic chance of enjoying and having fun and winning in 3 minutes.
As the one, Steve, drifts up to 12-1, the 6 is getting pounded now at 4-5, the 9 drifts 9 now at 4-1, and the 5
2 and 3.
Pretty much steadfast at 5-1. We're going over our most likely winners and talking about the odds.
Was it the 6? I'm not sure. So if you're going to play a vertical in this race... What was interesting is a Scotty Longshot.
The one was a long shot.
Is 9-2 on the morning line.
Okay.
What was the regular morning line on this horse?
Four players within $21 at the top.
Five three players.
What's the one horse though?
$1.
So the one's 9-2 guys on the morning line, and it's not. Or it's what? 8-1 on the morning line, 9-2 on the Equinedge morning line, and is the Scotty long shot. So there's a couple of algorithms that are kind of pointing towards this one horse running a good race.
So 1 minute to post, guys. They are heading to the gate. The 6 remains steadfast as your favorite, 4-5. The 9 at 4-1, the 4 at 5-1, and the other horse that we discussed at nauseam is the 1, which is my top pick at 12-1, who I think, Scotty, as you were over there, he looks like he's Lone Speed to me. I liked the race last time out going 6. Yes, he quit. I thought there was more pace in that race. There's less pace. He gets another half furlong. I think he's going to be up 3-4 lengths turning for home. And I get Joe Bravo. I think it's going to take a hell of an effort to catch him. That's me. And I think value at 12-1.
I didn't get a chance to look in depth at the past performances or our simulated race, which is not out yet, but we're working on it. So I'm going to have to take your word for that on pace. But based on my short handicapping, it came up with 1469.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think those. I mean,
that's
what we talked about
too.
I'm on the one who's going to wire the field.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I'm playing a table tournament with my buddies. I'm in the lead, by the way. I just want to remind everybody, I am in the lead. So. Okay, we are post time. I'm going to go to my lucky spot.
And
I'll
current pool,
Steve,
by the way, guys, is $428,000 in this pick four pool here at Del Mar. So that's pretty good pool right now. And then probably by the time they go off, this thing could be at $550,000, Steve, in this pick four pool. Right, over $500,000 for sure.
They've
had an amazing meet. They put on full cards. Their ship and win program at Del Mar has been incredible. They're just doing an amazing job getting full fields, competitive, and payouts have been incredible. They had a pick four, I believe, or a pick five, early pick four, pick five, last week or the week before that paid $170,000.
Della Noir going up. His last first kiss in the blue cap. Tis a master in the blue. Queen Gull the gray. Big sweep to the outside gate. Big sweep going in. They're all in.
Here we go.
And away they go. Big sweep got a good beginning. So did Tis a Master. Bellavita's right there now. Living My Best Life shooting through at the rail. Living My Best Life gets the lead. Queen Gull is the gray. Melting Snow at the rail. Only three lengths off the leaders. Then we come back to Stella Noir. On the far side is Last First Kiss. And last of all is Focused First. They run to the half-mile pole, and Living My Best Life strides on to lead just over a length. Big Sweep is tracking well in second. Two lengths back to Melting Snow, Tis a Master, far side. Queen Gull is the gray. Here's the favorite, Bellavita in the blue cap, a good six off the leader. Then comes Stella Noir, Last First Kiss, and Focus First. 3/8 of a mile to go, and Living My Best Life still gliding along a length and a half in front. Big Sweep is chased after second, and now Bellavita gets going. And Bellavita, blue cap, coming strongly from third. We basically down to three as they turn for home. Living My Best Life, Big Sweep, and now Bellavita eating up the ground in the center of the track. And Bellavita coming blue, flying with a 16th to go. Very, very impressive win by Bellavita. Scintillating, in fact. Couldn't have been more impressive. Bellavita wins well. Close for second. Looked like Living My Best Life, Big Sweep, and Stella Noir was fourth.
Well, the favorite that looked too good and coming out of things like the Great Lady M at Los Al, in fact, just way too good for this group.
Yeah, you know, it ran good. The top Scotty pick. The Scotty long shot, though, 9-1. So if you're playing verticals, you did well. You had some excitement, hoping you'd get that in your horizontals. But either way, we used 1469, and it came in 619. And the Scotty long shot, though, is key when you're playing these tournaments. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen in the tournament here in the NHC, and if people use the favorite.
Just nobody did. The only money's going to come to Jason Phillips, who's now actually at least cashed two in a row, but nobody used the favorite. The nine was a popular pick. Paul Callia, Chris Goodall, Paul Yaffe, and Jeff Vandry all went for the nine. Brendan Fay and Jose Arias and Sarah Wiener used the four.
Well, the one would have been a nice pick, but I think the rail might have scared everybody off of the one. And the one did break slow, but the six was just much best in this race.
Sometimes you just got to acknowledge that. You got to think that, let's see, 20, might be a $5 probably place price here for the nine. And so Jason Phillips, let's see what that does for his standings. It will put him. We've now.